Newsman, Happy New Year.
Web Guy, thank you. It's been it's always a great time of the year. You look forward to the year ahead, think what might be and what could improve, like this podcast.
It's just some powdery snow there, just sitting in front of us, just waiting to be just carved up by us on our metaphorical snowboards.
That's correct.
I haven't seen you for ages. We did inadvertently hang out on New Year's Eve, though.
We did. We were in the same vicinity.
You, me, and 50,000 people.
Yes, we were at the Adelaide Oval for the Strikers match.
Strikers.
Good way to bring in the new year for families and people that don't want a massive night. You get to enjoy a cricket game. There's fireworks, there's a lights display, and then you go home and have a sleep.
Good fun. I noticed you put something on social media about the event. I can't remember where I saw it. There was a photo of you in your seat saying that your New Year's resolution was to take a crowd catch.
Yeah, I wanted to get on the big screen on the night. So you sort of have to put away your inhibitions on Twitter and just go for it. So yeah.
I don't think I wrote it. I think I just thought it. I'm not sure if I actually posted this. And I don't know if this must have been on Twitter, I guess. I don't think I said it, but I thought, I was going to say, you forgot to wear your bucket head.
Yeah. Do you get a prize for wearing the bucket head, or?
I don't know, but the prize is irrelevant. You need to have the bucket head. You're part of the festival.
Did you have a bucket head on?
No, no bucket head for me. I didn't even have a seat, let alone a bucket head.
I just think it's a masterstroke of marketing that you could get anyone to put is normally a greasy container for fried chicken on top of your head as a hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the most popular item of headwear going around the last few summers.
Whoever's idea that was, retire. You're done. You did it. All over.
Someone said, can you imagine the pitch in a meeting? Okay, KFC is a major sponsor.
Mm.
How are we going to get people just ingrained in this product? Let's put a bucket on their head.
It's been a part of the Big Bash, and I thought of this the other day. When did they phase out if you hit the a six through a little circle somewhere in the crowd, you got like 13 runs or something?
Yeah, that was many, many years ago in the One Day Cup. I think it was...
Phase that out.
Yeah, that was an insurance company that knew that was never going to happen. It happened about three times, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, I like that as well.
Let's get into the news. That's what we do. We love the news. Although I'm going to admit I've been on holidays for a few weeks. When I'm on holidays, I have a very loose grip on what's happening in the world.
It's nice to do once in a while, just tune out from all the daily grind of, let's face it, a lot of the news is important for the moment, but really in the big scheme of things, not a big deal. If you miss it, doesn't matter.
I just ignore it. I actively try and avoid it. I just think, I put my head in the sand and I love it. It's awesome. Although, you know, let's not. Don't let that get around. But I will just quickly share. I was actively trying to ignore all news because it's too much. You know,
yeah.
Who cares?
So holidays. What? Not reading papers? Not really switching on to news radio stations?
Yeah, and, nothing.
And probably the main part of your job, steering clear of all the sort of major websites to sort of...
Yeah. I didn't look at any of that. Couple of stories that I just could not help avoid. And we'll skim over this one because it's an internet story. But there was the world's most famous YouTuber who ruined his career.
Mm.
Did you see that?
I did hear about this. I hadn't heard of him before. I've obviously been living on a rock. But I heard the story and was amazed at just how damaged it can be. Refresh my memory, though, what it was about. It was something he went into a Japan forest, is that correct? And filmed something pretty distasteful.
Logan Paul, most famous YouTuber in the world, worth many, many millions. Yeah, apparently there's this suicide forest in Japan. And while filming in there, he came across a dead body. And if you see his videos, the style is, you know, he's like 22 and it's all like funny, ha-ha. You know, it's not serious stuff.
Mm.
He sort of... they stumbled across this body and he was making jokes, and then they published a video and it was worldwide backlash. And just looking at it, like, and he in the end he admitted, look, we should have turned the camera straight off, because I can understand how he was just probably in a bit of shock, and his reaction was, you know, turned out to be wildly inappropriate. But in the moment, I mean, what do you do? But you should do. You should turn the camera off. Is what you should do, Logan. And I think he realised that, but only until it was all too late.
Or, you know, if he's innocently sort of filming spontaneous moments, think about. No, I won't publish that. That's not for for the world to see.
Yes, he is like a multi-million dollar business. Like this, you know, there must be some steps to go through before he hits publish on a video. At some point, even if it wasn't him, sure, like someone must have said, "Oh, guys, maybe let's not post the suicide video."
Web guy, you're a pretty measured fellow. Do you ever have to put the handbrake on your social media use in terms of, do you think of things and go, maybe I'll just steer clear of that one, or
In a work sense or in a personal sense?
Both. I find, like, I like to entertain, like I try to entertain on social media, mainly because I don't have a lot going on in my life that I feel like I need to put up funny things or, but sometimes I go, is that too far or is that going to offend? Will that come back and bite me on the bum?
Yeah.
So I do have to sometimes think,
yeah,
I'll just save that for Web Guy when the microphones are off and see if he has a laugh.
Yeah. You got to assume, you know, that your boss will see it. It's kind of a handy filter to put over anything. But, you know, I'm not Generation Z or whatever it is. Like, I was not born after Facebook was invented. So for me, you know, I get social media, but, you know, like, I don't, it's not my natural habitat. You know, I post some stuff. I've never posted anything I haven't regretted.
Good.
No, I mean, I've regretted everything I've ever posted.
Right. Okay, but no Japanese forests.
I've never done anything that I think is shameful. This story I also could not help but just, you know, where were you living if you didn't hear that Donald Trump almost started World War III over Twitter?
The button saga.
Yeah.
Button gate.
Yeah.
Let's just, everything's a gate if it's big enough story.
Yeah, Buttongate. You know, he's famous for rant tweets. And after Kim Jong-un said something about having a nuclear button, Trump tweeted about, "Oh, I've got a nuclear button and mine's bigger than yours." Which everyone seemed to read as just a big
pissing contest.
Basically. That's the best way to put it. Yep. And also, you know, this weird thing came into about, like, is he like working through some like personal, you know, inadequacies that he is projected into this situation? Anyway, the bottom line was, shouldn't really probably go anywhere near nuclear holocaust just toss off a casual tweet about potentially starting World War III. That's just a no-go.
Another angle to that for me was that you sort of always, In a simplified world, you'd always say, yep, the President of the United States has a button. It was almost like an urban myth. The President has one button on his desk next to his paperclip caddy that he could press at any time and blow up a country.
Yeah.
And I always then, as I grew up, thought, no, that's just, there would be processes. And now I'm thinking maybe they really do have a little red button.
Yeah.
With a little glass cabinet around it.
So. Interesting. What I saw was that, no, that is not the case. And this is what I was feeling for a little bit, like, what the hell? Like, because the thing, like, there's a, like, a nuclear war, you know, psychology. And part of that thing is, if it's the whole first strike thing. You have to, if it's getting to nuclear war, you have to be the first one to go, because you've got to go first, and you got to go hard, and you got to take out the enemy before they can really do anything. So it's such a, like, it's such a precarious situation already. And then to be saying that, like, you just feel like, well, geez, like, someone is gonna you know, jump the gun here, or you know.
So the button's in inverted commas.
Yes. So I ended up feeling a little better, because some analysis at some point said, well, look, hey guys, like, neither of them actually have literal buttons on their desk. Like you said, there is, like, processes, and, you know.
It would be interesting to know, from moment one when Trump just loses and goes, I'm going to press the button, how long, how many people it goes through, and how long, is it an hour, is it days, is it?
Good question. But yeah. I reckon it'd be quick, because I have heard that there is, at all times, like, a Marine or whoever it is, some guy, and I think they call it the football.
Okay.
It's like the briefcase thingy, like, is with the president basically all the time.
Right.
So I don't exactly know what the steps are, but I'm guessing, you know...
Let's hope there are plenty with Donald Trump involved.
It's the first time where I've felt like, oh, geez, man, this is a bit this is a bit scary.
Yeah.
But then, all of a sudden, this is the third and final news story I could not help but notice. And it's slightly related, but now Oprah Winfrey is going to be the next US president.
Yes, she spoke at an awards ceremony. What was it, the Golden Globes?
Yep, that also that esteemed event of political significance.
She's a great speaker. I was listening to a bit where she was talking about some other issues, and I was listening to every word, hanging off every word. And we've spoken about it before, that delivery is very much the key in a lot of speeches, but could she do much worse than Donald Trump? Did he have political experience going into it? I can't see why. If Americans are willing to vote in Donald Trump, why not Oprah?
I think that's what everyone thinks. I mean, obviously we understand, look, being a politician is a profession. You know, you kind of learn the ropes, get the skills. Like, you don't kind of waltz into those jobs. Like, we do want, you know, qualified and, you know, competent people doing that very specific job. But, yeah, I think the overriding thing now is, well, we let Trump do it. Like, why not let her do it? And it kind of feels like, could it be worse? Probably, she probably couldn't do worse.
No.
And the other thing is, I mean, the other take is these political roles really are, like, making a speech is almost, like, the main job of a president, you know? Like, they are communicating is kind of what they do. Like, the real world, maybe nuts and bolts actually running a country, running a government, you know, that is a big machine where there's a whole heap of, you know, public servants, blah, 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 actually doing the grunt work of that. The president is like a bit of a symbolic thing.
Yeah.
And if the job is to give a speech, inspire, blah, 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 then Oprah, yeah, she is qualified, no doubt. And it was, you know, you could see that in the speech she gave.
We all know it. Politics at all levels, whether it's Australia, the US, there would be people behind the scenes going, Oprah, this is the situation in Iraq. Here are the main key details. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to be reading reams and reams of classified material. Someone's summarizing it for them. They're not.
That's right.
So Oprah, why not?
And, I mean, Trump is spending a lot of time playing golf, reportedly. And, you know, I don't think Oprah has a golf habit like he does. So, I mean, already she's going to have a lot more attention to, you know, dedicate to the thing. Anything else that was going on?
A different type of TV show came to Australian screens recently. It was about the GAN, the train that goes... Where does it go from? It goes from Adelaide to... Northern Territory?
Yeah, I believe it goes all the way to Darwin.
Darwin.
Now, let me know about this because I got the gist of a headline and I can't quite work out whether this is the best new TV show that has ever arrived or is the worst TV show.
Well, the feedback I got from my Facebook friends was they enjoyed it. For those who are not acquainted with the show, I think it's called Slow TV.
Oh, okay.
And basically, it was pretty much 3 hours... no ads of a train travelling in a straight line between Adelaide and Darwin.
Any, like, commentary?
I don't think there was any commentary.
No editing?
There was a few shots. One of my fellow journos in the newsroom told me there was a few shots from track level, so you'd see the train go over the top of you.
Oh, man.
But, no, as far as I know, no commentary, just the sound of the train click-clacking along the train tracks and the pretty... typical sort of Australian scenery. But
what channel is this on?
This was on SBS. And sounds like a lot of people liked it. It was relaxing. It was something different.
Are you serious?
People are so used to action-packed and words thrown at them that perhaps they just like something a little bit different.
That would be like doing a podcast of just 3 hours of silence, wouldn't it? Maybe people would find that relaxing.
We should try it. We'll see which one's more popular. This one. Or the one where we say nothing.
I don't think I even want to test that out. I like the thought about why do we always think of pitch meetings? Like, you thought of the KFC guy. Who is the guy walking up to a TV station saying, guys, I've got this idea for a show. It's going to go for 3 hours. It's going to be just nothing but video of a train.
There are some convincing people out there.
Looking locally for a minute, newsman, we find out here in Adelaide that we have an outbreak.
An outbreak?
Mm-hmm.
I saw a movie about an outbreak. It was a monkey bit someone and it just went crazy.
Yeah.
I think it was called Outbreak.
Yeah, you're right. They spent a long time crafting the title of that movie. And I think, if I remember rightly, it's that monkey spread the Ebola virus.
Mm. Yep. Everyone in rubber suits and
yeah,
people violently dying. Is this what's happening in Adelaide?
Close. parts of the city, I can confirm, have been quarantined. 14 suburbs, essentially in lockdown.
There's a red zone, I think.
Yeah, there is. What's being locked down, though, is the little old mate we know well and love called the fruit fly.
Yes.
Not quite Ebola. And thank the good Lord, like, how lucky that our, you know, biohazard situation revolves around fruit flies.
Mm.
I feel like we've got off pretty lightly there.
Web guy, I saw you tweeted about this. You seemed a little underwhelmed by the terms used in this story recently, that outbreak was a bit of a strong word.
No, it's not. It's just that we're more lucky.
Lucky.
Yeah, it is an outbreak. It's just not a very dangerous outbreak. I mean, I know that SA has this, we live in SA, in case anyone didn't know that, which stands for South Australia. The state has a thing about fruit fly. Like, I don't know if it is the only state in SA where there isn't fruit fly or something like that.
There are many things that this state are very proud about.
No convicts.
No convicts. What are some of the other ones? Probably the Adelaide Oval is the more recent one.
Mm-hmm.
City of Churches. Wine. We love talking about wine in the Barossa Valley. Mm-hmm. And being, and I struggle to say this unless I say it slowly, fruit fly free zone. We take great pride in that.
Are we the only ones, though?
We are.
Oh, wow. Yeah, see.
It means a lot for fruit growers, the reputation that we're clean, our products are always going to be of quality because none will be ruined by these little pests.
Mm. Feels, though, like, I mean, how long can you hold the floodgates back when you're the only little patch of dirt in a country where this thing, this fruit fly lives? Like, how long can you really keep it out?
And I think South Australians are very honest about bringing fruit into the state, but do you think...
let's get into that.
Yeah, so...
There's an honour system.
So basically, you get to the border between Victoria and South Australia. A few guys stop you, they go, do you have fruit? They have maybe have a look in your boot, check out if you've got any citrus mainly. And
maybe taser you if they find a mouldy banana.
There's a bin there for you to drop your fruit. Most people are fine with that. They go, yeah, okay, what's two apples to me? I'll chuck those in the bin. But I can imagine there'd be some very tight people that want to hold on to a stash of cheap oranges they got from the Mildura markets or something. I don't know.
I brought back a banana accidentally into Adelaide Airport and a sniffer dog found me out.
They said, is that a banana in your pocket?
It was genuinely a banana. It wasn't in my pocket. It was in my backpack.
Right.
And the dog was sniffing around.
Yeah.
He's come straight up to me and sniffing, and I'm thinking, like, good luck, mate. Like, I'm not packing cocaine or, you know. So I don't know what you're on. I didn't even think about it. I just assumed, you know, I was so innocent. And then they're like, nah, the dog's sniffed. We're looking through. Bingo, there's a banana. Yep, forgot about that. Sorry, everyone.
To me, the whole fruit fly message and declaring fruit at the border and things like that, they're as ingrained for me as Slip, Slop, Slap was from the 80s. It goes back that far for me that it's part of SA culture. And the reaction in the newsroom to this story is people are genuinely concerned. They're saying, is my suburb affected? Should I be getting rid of fruit that I've just purchased? So some people are a little lacking a bit of education in what it involves. But there's a genuine part of the SA psyche that is proud of this reputation we have, and have a civil, a strange civil responsibility that you don't see in other parts of society about this certain issue. It's a weird one.
We'll get to whose fault the whole thing is in a second. I'm not a zoologist. Forgive me if I'm ignorant here. A fruit fly, I just think of, okay, well, it's a fly. We know what a fly is, and they just like eating fruit. It's like a fly on a health kick. Like, the poor fly, like, probably this one's turned over a new leaf in the new year.
I know, you said
I'm going to eat more fruit this year. Boom. Triggered an outbreak and quarantine off the whole city.
Been hanging around on dog poo. I can't get a girlfriend. Maybe I'll start eating fruit instead.
And they get punished? We try to wipe them out for that?
Yeah, but we love... Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit... But if we're going to punish anyone, flies are probably a good target.
Yeah, anyway, I was stunned to learn, as this story was breaking, that they can pinpoint where the outbreak happened. I think they can even get down to, like, the piece of fruit that was infected. From what I can piece together as the story breaks, and I'm trying to collect all the information that's coming in from all the channels, I think you, our very own newsman, I think, were single-handedly responsible for the outbreak.
Web guy, I do live in the western suburbs of Adelaide. I do have fruit trees. And I have ignored many of the warnings that PIRZA or Biosecurity SA have issued on this recent outbreak. And I felt terrible about it.
Okay.
I felt terrible. Mm. So basically, that you're told not to leave rotting fruit under your trees. Number one, I have done that this summer.
Okay.
But I have since removed the fruit that I've left rotting, because basically the fruit fly can sort of breed in there and get going for next summer, I guess. Mm-hmm. And also, I've given away fruit. I never knew this was a problem, but it makes common sense, doesn't it? So I've had plenty of apricots on the tree this year and given some to my parents who live in another suburb and my partner's parents who live in another suburb.
This is how stuff literally goes viral.
I am the monkey in outbreak.
You are the monkey. You've triggered a pandemic. What's the difference between a pandemic and an epidemic?
Oh, I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, no one cares. I got sidetracked.
Yeah, I did speak to interviewed Biosecurity SA for this story, and I made that admission.
You were a suspect, I think, is why you ended
I
up.
Made that admission. Mm-hmm. And thinking the guy would go, well, do it quickly and you'll be fine. But yeah, there was no humour or lightheartedness about it.
No.
So no. I am... It's a wake-up call. And the worst thing about it is my partner did tell me to pick up the rotten fruit and put it in the green bin. And I was all hippie like, let it be part of the earth, man. It's going to nurture the tree in future generations. But I am...
You are the monkey. That's the only way to put it. So unrelated. I've never had experience with fruit flies. I've had wasps, though.
Mm.
You know, completely unrelated, really. But I remember having a wasp problem. And it was in the middle of summer. We had a nest. And
European wasps?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The, you know, the snooty wasps. saw where the nest was. Got the spray to knock it out. You can get the spray that knocks the nest out. It was in the middle of summer, and I had never done this before, and I was prepared for the worst case scenario, in which the nest kind of half fell apart, and I just made the wasps really angry. Most of them would survive the blast, I assumed, and would come chasing after me. And you know that myth or fact about how wasps send out like a distress call, and all their wasp buddies come around?
Yeah.
So I was on a 40-degree day, I was literally wearing every piece of clothing I had, like balaclava and a hat and gloves, so they couldn't sting me through the stuff. And I sprayed the nest, and I cannot explain to you how instantly the whole thing just disappeared. Like, one shot of this thing, and it was like, boom, they were gone.
Right.
I couldn't even believe. Like, I don't even know what it actually was in the can. It's probably nuclear radiation or something, but it was just... Instantly, like, I didn't even see one wasp get out of the nest.
That's good. So if I'm the monkey in outbreak, you are Dustin Hoffman in outbreak. You are the saviour. You can you can end the outbreak quickly.
I was more going to switch movie analogies and say I'm more like the Terminator. I've been sent back from the future to get rid of the wasps. Stories knocking around at the moment, Marcus, where it's up for debate. Are they even stories? A lot of things being reported. And the certainly the online feedback is, that's not news. I've got a couple of examples.
Please go ahead.
One is a couple of Aussie cricketers snapped smoking cigarettes. Sean Marsh, Jackson Bird, puffing on ciggies at a team celebration for the Ashes win. Now, that throws up all kinds of issues, like points, talking points. But one of the main ones is people saying, well, you know, the first thing is, okay, well, is that a good look for a, you know, potential role model slash pro athlete? And then flowing on from that, people are asking, well, why are we even seeing this picture? The newspaper that published it's coming from a bit of criticism. Like, well, why do you even publish it? And I feel like, of course they publish it. But there seems to be some backlash. Am I off way off base here?
I see why they published it, because it's something unusual to see an elite sports person these days doing a very unhealthy habit. I didn't actually... Can you expand on what the article went into? Was it sort of condemning them for actually smoking, or just check out this, they're smoking?
Well, the... I mean, I saw it in the Daily Telegraph. They don't criticise them, but they ran a story quoting, you know, someone from one of the quit groups. And the medical association. So, like, health professionals saying, well, yeah, this isn't great. But... I don't see how it's the paper's fault. I mean, I've heard people say, well, if we didn't hadn't seen the photo, we wouldn't be talking about it. But what the hell? Like, if that is what news media does. Like, if we all just experienced the news that we encountered firsthand, well, what the hell? Like, we wouldn't know anything that's going on. So, okay, photos of Aussie cricketers smoking. Is it news? I have a real, just real pragmatic idea about what is news. It is whatever people say it is. So if these photos have been published and no one noticed, hey, guess what? That's not news. No one cares. But instead, you know, the whole country's talking about it. That's news.
It is news. As I said, it's something out of the ordinary. You just, I was shocked to hear that these people, they, you look at, I guess we get a closer look at AFL players in Adelaide, and they seem to be very clean living. We've seen a few work amongst us, and they have very clean living habits. So yeah, it's a big shock. To defend the Wowsers though, I have a distinct memory of the first time I saw Aussie cricketers as a young boy in short pants. Don't know why I added the short pants.
I was wearing braces, knee-high socks.
That's right. No, I was watching TV coverage, I think it was from the Adelaide Oval, and a shot of the change rooms where a couple of key players were smoking. And as a child, that really shocked me because I knew that smoking was a bad thing. So,
yeah.
But it didn't inspire me to smoke. It probably just made my heroes become humans.
Who was it? Like Doug Walters?
No, it, well...
You can't remember.
I know exactly who I think it is, but I don't want to say I had distinct memories only to get it wrong. And
what were the initials?
AB.
Also happens to be his famous nickname.
And possibly Jeff Marsh as well.
Yeah.
Well, so people that I respected and admired were seen smoking, which I knew as a child this was a bad thing. So, yes, I understand that it's bad, but I'm with you as well. It's. But do you have a problem with them actually smoking? If we get away from the, is it news, is it not news?
Oh, yeah, okay. So now, having got through that, whether they're smoking or not, who cares? Like, I don't actually care.
No.
I think now we have a more sophisticated idea of role models now, I think. Like, maybe in the past, just by pure fact that you made it to the Aussie cricket team, or you made it into an AFL team, automatically a role model. Now we think, well, no, I mean, you're not automatically a role model. Like the position of a role model is earned, you know, like you don't automatically get it because you reach a point. Like, so yeah, I don't really think they're necessarily role models at all. So yeah, I don't really care.
Well, I think they are role models, but I think that their duties as role model is at the sporting ground. It's in interviews, it's in coaching clinics. But if they're not doing anything illegal in their spare time, then what's the problem? It's a tough one because we all really look down on smoking. We really judge people that smoke. But it's not illegal. That's the final thing. They weren't blowing it in a baby's face.
No, they weren't.
They were in a pub that obviously allows...
Can confirm that they weren't doing that.
That allows smoking, so...
Another sporting identity that the world, the country at least, seems to resent to see in the news, Ben Cousins.
Yes.
Again, Ben Cousins is in the news a lot for obvious reasons. He's had struggles with drug addiction and some of the, you know, associated craziness that involves. And every time his name's thrown up, it's like... online comment is, who cares? Like, move on, whatever, whatever. But at the same time... these stories get gobbled up. Mm. People actually can't get enough of finding out what Ben Cousins is up to, but then seem to, I don't know, what is that? What is going on there? Are people ashamed that they secretly like to know what's going on?
So they're saying don't cover it.
Saying it's not news. It's not news. But clearly it is, because you only have to look at the chat that it generates, or, you know, online, you look at the web traffic it generates. I'm sure if you look at, you know, newspaper sales, however they measure.
I think people forget there are several aspects of what is news. One is it of interest to the society. But this is Ben Cousins. No, it doesn't affect the rest of society too much.
Mm.
But is it of public interest is another angle that you have to think about when you're forming a news story.
Yeah.
Yes, it is, because many of us invested more than a decade being entertained by him on field, and not fell in love with him, but had a real attachment to him because he was such a fantastic player, such a dynamic personality, only to see him on a decline when you think, why is this happening given you had everything before you? And that's why there's that public interest.
Yeah.
We're invested in him, and we don't want him to slide into nothing. Or, I guess, part of it is also we want to know about if he does.
Well, he's just got out of jail. That's news. He's out of prison. He's done time in the slammer. He's out now. That's news. But people get weary, I guess, of the, you know, the cycle of this. Like, he gets in trouble, you don't hear from him for a little bit. Then he gets in trouble again. Then you don't hear. Then he gets in trouble again. So I had been wondering, he's come out of prison. Like, maybe he was in there for 10 months, I think, at least. Has he come out? And, you know, is he clean now? He's, you know, notoriously addicted to drugs. You know, he's crazy for drugs. Is he clean now? Like, is he okay? Maybe this was great for him. Is he out and he's good now? And then
that's the other twist to the story, isn't it? There's always that little bit of hope that a drug addict can kick it, can kick the habit, and
but apparently he failed a drug test just a few months ago, so not a great sign.
The other, bringing back to people saying it's not news, I know for the fact that you gauge the stories that you put online to see how successful they are, how much activity. So if you continue to put up a story that registered very little interest, would you continue that theme?
No, if no traffic goes there, clearly no one's interested. That's not news at that point.
People are, this isn't just people in a little newsroom having a hunch about what the public
now
you can actually gauge what is of interest.
It's all about data. It's data driven.
That's it.
And also, like, the people who negatively comment about, you know, Ben Cousins, this isn't news, that's only a smidge of a total number of people who actually consume that content. So keep it in perspective, Tim. Yeah, is what I tell myself. Anyway, I've got another beef. Can I quickly mention this beef?
Sure.
Craig McLaughlin in strife at the moment. Accusations of sexual misconduct. One that has just come to light is, dates back to 2004, incident in an Adelaide tanning salon.
Mm.
Not just this one, but certainly saw it with this one. A lot of people say, you know, this happened in 2004. People will say, well, why didn't this girl come out in 2004? Mm. I don't think that is a valid criticism.
No, it's all about context, isn't it? If, for me, she's adding evidence, well, it appears to be evidence that he has a behavioural, it's a track record of inappropriate behaviour towards people. This is what we allege, and I think that's what she's adding to the story.
I've got an analogy in mind I want to use to point out how ridiculous it is to say, well, why didn't she come out in 2004?
Mm.
Let me know if this is inappropriate. Take, for example, shocking part of history where people were kept as slaves.
Mm.
And then at some point it was decided, and this is in the US, okay, no more slaves. That's illegal now. It would be like someone saying after that, or it would be like someone saying, well, you know, why didn't you just stop being a slave before? It's like, well, they couldn't.
Mm.
You know, in 2004, someone couldn't have probably made a... come out with the truth of this without probably losing their job.
Mm.
Or, you know, the times were different. They couldn't come out and say it then. But, you know, times have changed. The environment is different now where they can. And what, just because it happened in 2004, does that mean, like, he's off the hook for it? Is it not wrong if he did it more than 10 years ago?
To me, that one does, it seems fine. But sometimes I do wonder the length of time that someone... there was the John Jarrett incident as well. A woman came forward about information from the 70s, and you sort of think, oh, why is this being brought up now? But you have to speak to them. You have to speak to them.
Mm.
And often it's because they've already actually tried to tell authorities about it and have been fobbed off.
Mm.
So, yeah, you're right. It's perhaps circumstances at the time.